Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Betches Media presents.
Donald Trump was a stain on our country.
I'm someone's daughter, too.
That's what I'm talking about.
So help me God. Congratulations, Mr. President.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Hello, I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Brian Russell-Smith.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast, where C-SPAN meets the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics. How yes. are you, Brian? We're missing Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Amanda is at the dentist. You know, we make those appointments and you got to keep them. I get it. So it's just Sammy and I today. I'm doing okay. How are you?
You know, I am okay. I have my second vaccination shot on Friday and I'm kind of like, you know, mentally preparing to potentially be out all weekend. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Well, so I think last week was my first week fully vaccinated after like the 2 weeks of the second dose, whatever. And I'm like, obviously, like, I'm still washing my hands and stuff, but I'm just like, the amount of like relief of like touching my face and not being like freaked out or like just being on like the subway or anywhere. It's been pleasant. Like I met up with other vaccinated friends. We had them over this on Saturday and I like overdid it. Like I was so happy to be around people and not be like scared that I was like so hungover yesterday, but it was worth it.
Well, that's what this year is going to be about, you know, just rediscovering how to be social. But yeah, no, I totally feel that. Like I was wearing two masks everywhere and now I only wear two masks when I go like inside, like, somewhere now, but you know, I'm pretty casual back to my one cloth mask and it feels great to just not have so much shit on your face all the time.
Yeah. I'm back to one cloth mask as well at this point.
Yeah. It's exciting. Okay. So speaking of COVID, today marks the first day that all adults in the United States are eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine and half the population has gotten at least one shot. This comes as states are loosening restrictions on indoor gatherings and with that, a wave of mass shootings. The U.S. has recorded at least 50 mass shootings since the Atlanta area spa shootings on March 16th, which was like a month ago, including multiple this weekend in Kenosha, Austin, and Columbus, Ohio. I mean, it's pretty fucked up that like back to normal means now people just die going to... You know,
I mean,
I don't know, the grocery like, store.
Yeah, I think it's obviously this was happening before COVID, you know, but I guess because of like we were saying, these restrictions and stuff, it wasn't clearly obviously it wasn't happening often. Schools weren't open. All of these places, like you're saying, and it's like, oh, right. We never finished this conversation. Just because COVID-19 happened, it kind of just like maybe got put on like a back burner. But I think that when we had talked to people like Shannon Watts from Mom's Mans, I think that she had spoken about this. Like it was kind of like nerve wracking what was going to happen as things started to get better in terms of vaccinations and indoor restrictions. So,
well, here's what's a little bit confusing to me, because it's not like there was no one indoors for the past few months. Like people were indoors, like you, people were still going to grocery stores. People were still going to like salons. So what I sort of wonder is like, why is it starting to like really ratchet up now? Because it's not like people have been truly locked down in their homes and like half the country didn't even like in a lot of states where you can get guns easily, like they didn't even do the lockdowns or like for a very long time. So I just wonder why it's picked up so much now. And I wonder if it like kind of goes along with like the emotional feeling that we're opening up, that people are now like, okay, now I can focus on my like problem that causes them to want to shoot people.
Yeah. Like the emotion and problems, you know, it's not winter is ending. Like crime does typically get like worse the hotter it gets. It's like just the way it is. It's weird. But also we just like we're on the heels of that very contentious election where, you know, two, like, I just think that there's so many reasons people, I mean, there's no good, like, there's no, obviously no reason, but right. in their heads, this like external, like, problems with, like, you know, unemployment, their election, the like, I don't know, it's just amped up.
Yeah, the country is quite amped.
Over the weekend, we've learned more about the 19-year-old who killed 8 people at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis. The killer, who is also dead, was able to purchase the rifles that killed 8 people just months after he was investigated by the FBI for potential violence. In March 2020, then 18-year-old Brandon Hull told his mom that he might try to, quote, commit suicide by cop. He was then taken to a hospital and placed in a mental health hold. His shotgun was seized and never returned. Months later, Hull legally bought the 2 assault rifles he used to kill 8 people last Thursday. So he was clearly being investigated, but was still able to purchase firearms, assault rifles at that legally.
Yeah, I mean, he had like clearly expressed the intent to do something like what he eventually did.
Yeah. So this is what they call red flag laws. Red flag laws allow the authorities to temporarily take away guns from people declared by a judge to be too unstable to have them. But what happens after the guns are seized varies by state. For example, in Indiana, once a weapon is taken by the police, prosecutors have 14 days to justify the seizure to a judge. And if they don't, the weapon can be returned. The judge can also decide that the person is too unstable to have guns for a period of time. However, Brandon Hull's case never made it to court, and it is unclear why. Prosecutors or police might have concluded that since they took his shotgun, the issue was resolved. 4 of the 8 victims were members of the Indianapolis Sikh community. When officers confiscated Hull's gun in 2020, they saw information about white supremacist ideations on his computer. Federal investigators would interview him about it and conclude that he didn't harbor racially motivated violent extremism. It's unclear whether Thursday's attack was racially motivated.
The crazy thing is that, like, yes, as much as we care about, like, what is racially motivated and what is not, and also the, like, penalty for a hate crime is higher, ultimately, none of this would be an issue and we wouldn't have to parse these things if it was just harder for someone who is clearly going, who expressed intent to commit such a crime, if you just don't let that person get a gun ever.
Like, so frustrating, yeah, because like there's no federal red flag law ban. So even right. if there was something like in Indiana, he could just go drive to another state and get assault rifles.
Right.
But it's so frustrating because these most people who are like defending of the Second Amendment and Republicans and conservatives point to red flag laws as like, see, we're doing something, but clearly it doesn't work. If there was a federal ban on assault rifles, like there was for over 10 years in the 90s, people wouldn't, he wouldn't have been able to purchase these 2 assault rifles and kill 8 people. It's just so right. frustrating. The constant, you know, easy solution is just right there.
Yeah. I mean, people should not have to feel terrified going to their workplace.
No.
Because, like, I don't know, they can't like track some person's intention to murder people. Like, it's just sort
Any
of
place.
It's just really crazy. And it's devastating that we have to live with like this fear and this pain
mm-hmm.
because just no one wants to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. It's really frustrating. And it's so frustrating. It's what also is so insanely frustrating about it is that majority of Americans, despite the political spectrum, agree that it's crazy
right.
that this person was able to purchase these guns. And it is just still the corporations and the lobbying of it is just still so heavy. It's just, I heard someone talk about like how, you know, tobacco used to have this kind of power. Why don't we just do what everyone did to tobacco? Like people still smoke. I still have a puff every once in a while, you know, right. like it's the same, like it just needs to be so much more difficult and regulated and less deadly.
Right. Do you think it's possible? Like, I just sort of feel like, okay, it's just nothing's happening. Nothing is ever happening at this point because of like fucking Joe Manchin. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that the messaging around like at least something, I don't know. It just needs to be like, it's not manly to have an assault rifle or something. So like just a thing that like I know that's a weird way to say it, but like I think that would
no,
like,
I know what you mean.
Like men would be like, oh, you need that many. I only do it in six. And it's like, wow. Like I'm totally down to play with that farce if it's going to make some like, because like, let's be honest, who are the people that, that most of these mass shootings all have in common? They're men. Like right. That's right. Pretty much the big umbrella.
Right. It's so key. Guns are so like critical for the performative masculinity or for the performance mm-hmm. of masculinity that it's like, you mm-hmm. can't, I mean,
yeah,
their whole life is around like, how do I prove my masculinity?
Look at Matt Gaetz.
So, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
So today we are seeing the closing arguments in the trial of Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd, and Minneapolis is bracing for the verdict, which could come as early as this week. This is against the backdrop of the murder of Dante Wright. So things are pretty raw. And it's, you know, emotions are high across the country, including Chicago, following the footage of Adam Salido's death. So I don't know. It feels like we could potentially be kind of on the cusp of another like renewal of Black Lives Matter protests. Minneapolis public schools are moving to remote learning starting on Wednesday in anticipation of the trial verdict, which, I mean, should tell everyone something. And yeah, I mean, I've seen some pretty intense images of the National Guard and they're moving like fencing and blockades in preparation for a potentially a verdict that people are potentially unhappy about.
Yeah, it's really like frightening because, you know, so often people are like, especially with this trial, how could he possibly get away with it? And I'm like, I obviously the evidence is so overwhelming, you know, like,
yeah.
But I don't have the confidence in the justice system.
Right. I don't have the confidence because, like, for example, we watched. Okay, so last week the defense gave their case. It only took them like 2 days, and they had like one or two use of force experts who were like, "This was fine. Chauvin was fine." So my worry is that like as many use of force experts came on the prosecution side and said the opposite. What if the people who are on the jury are just like, oh, but like we have one guy who's willing to say it was fine. So there's like your reasonable doubt. And then mm-hmm. he just is fine mm-hmm. or he gets off. So, I mean, he pleaded not guilty to second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder and second degree manslaughter. So those are the charges that he could stand to be hit with. I feel like unless he is found guilty of third degree murder, protests will be very bad. Or not bad, but they will be quite lively.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just really hoping for some respite, a semblance of respite, you know? Like,
yeah. It's crazy to see how prepared they are for a trial verdict when you look at, like, the Capitol on January 6th. And mm-hmm. they prepared nothing. It's like they're capable of preparing when they want to prepare. They're preparing for a jury verdict. Literally.
It's also, you know, the reaction. It's seeing the reaction of of how their people are treated, you know, versus yep. white people versus black people by the police. You know, it's, I mean, crazy. Like, and we saw that in Michigan before the insurrection with when they stormed the Capitol.
Right.
They were screaming without masks indoors in these police officers' face, and they were just standing there. And there was a plot to murder the governor of Michigan, and it's right. like. It's just like how could you not at this point see the racial disparity when it is just so on display?
Right. I mean, I think that the people who don't want to believe that it's white supremacy and that the system's like ultimately built wrong, mm-hmm. I think they just don't want to see it. So they're like, they'll come up with any excuse. When really yeah. it's like the system that is so broken.
Well, you know, because they were talking. I think it was the prosecutor. I was watching a bit of it before, and he was saying how it's like they have over 800 hours of training, 500 hours of sensory treatment. So I was like, in my head, it's like, let me kind of do the math on that, even though math is not my strong suit. So even if it's like 800 hours, that's like, I needed 8 hours a day. That's only 100 days. So that's like 3 months. And you know what I mean? Like, they're just clear. Like, I was like, the way he even said that, I was like, that doesn't sound like a lot, but he's trying to say it like it's a lot of time. It's just, how could we not need it? It's 2 years. Like, we just, like, just make it harder to be a police officer. So the people who would become police officers aren't, like, lazy. And, like, you should have to work hard to become a police officer. It should be a hard job to get.
It also is, like, interesting because, okay, we started this conversation talking about, like, the gun violence in America. It almost feels like just knowing the number of the percentage of officers who are found guilty of like domestic violence yeah. or have incidents on their record where they violated a policy, but maybe somebody didn't die. So they didn't, you know, it didn't have to become as much of a thing. It's the types of people who become police officers. I just wonder, like, how different are they from someone who is like, I am just going to take my gun. Like, they're just sort of going an institutional route that allows them to harm people and then essentially be immune from any sort of responsibility of that.
And then the issue is, too, is that there's this whole culture of we protect our own, like, don't be a rat, like, cover it up. So how, like, if when you have that mentality, it sort of gives people like that, the bad cops, to act with impunity because they are in that culture. And, you know,
right.
The other thing about police officers is like they are also just like there's the their struggle of like them versus like the people, the civilians who are disregard them, don't like them, you know, obviously. But they're also, I always think about the fact that they're a job. Like, I wonder what, like, at the time of like what they do to react, like what are they doing to appease some internal politics as well? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many layers of just like what their issues are. Like, you know, there's office politics everywhere.
Right. Like, there's so much more to it than what we see. And then you wonder why they don't take accountability. And it's like, okay, well, potentially there's something going on inside that the system is much more corrupt than we might even realize. But I totally agree with you. It should be harder to become a police officer, and you should have to sort of undergo some sort of evaluation, I think, about how you are going to use your weapon. And like, it just seems like it shouldn't be that hard to not hire domestic abusers to then police the community.
And it's just like, and it's like, you know, if you don't hold the worst of you accountable, it reflects on all of you. It's the same with any position or part of your life. If it's like you, those like when like for example, when Al Franken had to resign, they made him resign.
Yeah,
a little dodgy, but you know that was their justification. You know what I mean? So like it's sort of.
Justification anytime Democrats like resign in a situation where a Republican would never resign. That's always
Katie Porter, you know.
Katie Hill. Yeah.
Katie Porter is the other congresswoman. Sorry.
Yeah. It's the badass who with the questions and the whiteboard.
Yeah. Both from California, in my defense.
Yeah.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
So we're just going to cover one more story. GOP members of Congress are calling for the removal of Maxine Waters after she spoke out in solidarity with protesters against police brutality in Minneapolis. So let's play a clip of what she said.
Not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No, no, no. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned, it's first degree.
Ms. Congresswoman, what happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens?
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
What is so bad about that? Like, she didn't say anything that bad.
I know.
I don't really understand what the objection is, but as a result of the statement, GOP representative, everyone's favorite Marjorie Taylor Greene, announced on Sunday that she plans to introduce a resolution to expel Maxine Waters from Congress for her continual incitement of violence. It's like, cool. You are the one with the Jewish space lasers who promoted the coup. What are you talking about?
Who like did not vote for Trump for inciting insurrection either.
Right.
Who like said much worse on the Capitol before people came and stormed the Capitol. So it's like, okay.
Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene last week was tied to this document called, it appears to be like a policy platform for like a political caucus called the America First Caucus. I talked about this in the morning announcements, but like she and Paul Gosar are the ones who are tied to it. Although they're sort of like distancing themselves from it. But some of the content was like so fucked up. It was like, it sounded like Steve King, Western civilization type of shit. Mm-hmm. Like one thing they said is like their caucus is celebrating like Anglo-Saxon political traditions and that like all the architecture and our infrastructure should pay homage to like European traditions. It's like, we are not Europe. We also literally fought to not be Europe.
Like, if you want to go that route, we could just say, okay, well, a lot of European traditions stem from the Arab, Persian, you know, customs, Muslim. So, yeah, sure.
Right, like, where in Europe? Like,
yeah, like, south of Spain is basically all, you know, whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, no, it is, like, from, it's like the Moorish architecture. Yeah. It doesn't look like Athens. Like, yeah, they're not this...
And yeah. Even them, like, that's like, you know, I just like, it's just so silly. So silly. Go away.
I mean, they are just, it's just annoying because it's like people introduced a resolution. It's like a I am rubber, you are glue type of situation where people wanted to like expel Marjorie Taylor Greene. And now she's just like, oh, we're going to expel Maxine Waters.
Well, they do like, well, they're like, I feel like a continuous defense line for Republicans is whataboutism, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, you did this. Well, what about this? It's like, well, okay, well, that's how you get away from moral, you know, that's how you get away with moral ambiguity. It doesn't work that way.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's our show. This has been, we've missed Amanda greatly. Mm-hmm. Irreplaceable Amanda, but you know, I enjoyed going back to our old days where we used to just host together, and that was been fun.
It's been a flashback.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone should definitely go check out our SUP merch collection on shopbetches.com. We have such cute stuff, a really awesome mug that says "Until the End of Democracy." What else do we have? I believe we have a cute sweatshirt coming out soon. You will be the first to know about it, podcast listeners. Subscribe to our newsletter that Elise writes.
Yeah. The newsletter is great. I think the newsletter is one of my favorite email. Actually, probably my favorite email I get every day. Because otherwise, what other email would it be?
Right. It's hilarious. Makes you laugh. Tells you what's going on. Gives you a little break in your day.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So until the end of democracy, I'm Sammy Sage.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
And this has been the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Sup podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.